Now this morning, what I'd like to do is go back to Matthew 5, 17 to 20 and talk about the law and righteousness this morning. Now I know that we're taking up the study of the Sermon on the Mount kind of in progress. We have on Sunday morning here skipped the introduction part. We did that in Sunday school. Matter of fact, we just finished it up this morning. What we're doing is we're taking up the study of the Sermon on the Mount after Jesus finished his introduction. And I'm going to conclude that the Beatitudes, all those blessings and all those promises that are mentioned in the Beatitudes from verses 3 through 12 are given to us as an introduction. And then he goes on and says, here's your responsibility. You like all these promises? Here's your responsibility, your salt and your light in the world. Oh, how wonderful. After all of the introduction, and it's an attention-getting introduction, I think, that Jesus used, a good method for instructors and teachers, preachers, to give a good attention-getting introduction, and that's what Jesus does. And so now that the introduction's over, Jesus is getting down to business. Now that he has our attention, it's time to learn some more from him. It's time that he's going to take all of these things that he was talking about, kind of in a nebulous sort of way. Blessed are those people who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Those people out there, and he brings it right down now, and he's going to talk directly to us as individuals. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He brings it right down to that responsibility. But now we're all thrilled about what Jesus is teaching us. He has to calm us down, I think. And he says, wait a minute. I'm not starting something brand new. And I love the fact that Jesus isn't starting something brand new, isn't starting over from scratch, starting a new religion. No, he's not doing that. If you notice what it says in Matthew 5:17, don't think. Now, when I read that, I have to conclude that perhaps there were people that were thinking along these lines that Jesus was going to try to set up something new. He said, don't think that I've come to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy. I came to fulfill them. Now we're looking at Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount when he's just getting started in his ministry, I think. I think that Matthew runs pretty much in a chronological order from his birth to his death. And everything in between is pretty much in order, I would think. So we're hearing from Jesus as he starts his ministry. And so he needs to set some guidelines first. You all want to follow me, but listen, it's not really me you're following. I'm a servant, just like you are. I'm sent here to do a job. He needed to set some guidelines. And he needed to tell them that I'm not coming here to do something new. I'm not starting something new. I'm not going to destroy. I'm not going to abolish the law. I'm not going to set it aside. For that fact, I'm not going to abolish the prophets either. Everything that the prophets proclaim, Jesus is saying, I'm for that. I'm for that. I'm for the law. I'm for everything that God has established already. I'm not going to destroy it or abolish it. And on the Greek word here that is translated abolish in the NIV, the King James says destroy. But the word there, it's important. Important to keep a mind on this for later this morning. We're going to kind of come back to this word. Katalio. Katalio. That means to invalidate. Jesus said, I'm not going to invalidate the law. It means to frustrate the law. I'm not going to frustrate the law. I'm not going to do that, Jesus said. I'm not going to try to get around it by asking dumb questions. Now, you know, you've heard the statement that there are no such thing as dumb questions. Yeah, there are. Really, there are. I was watching a movie some time back, The Phenomenon. I don't know if you saw that movie. It's kind of an older one now. John Travolta sees this bright light that, bam, hits him in the head. And all of a sudden he becomes intelligent. Well, they're trying to question him to find out if this intelligence is real or not. And so this man from the government sits down across the table from John Travolta's character just to ask him to find out how smart he really is. He wants to give him a math question. So he says, how old would a man be who was born in 1918? Well, I don't think I can figure that one out in my head. But the character says, his response was, which month was he born? April. What day in April? The 12th. What hour? 10 in the morning. Where? What difference does it make where? Well, if he was born in New York, he would be 3 hours older than he would if he was born in Los Angeles, you see. So the questioner says, okay, New York. All right, then he rattled off. He was 89 years, so many days, so many months, so many weeks, so many days, so many hours, and so many minutes old. Just like that. Well, that guy that was asking the question would have thought or was thinking that 89 years old would have been sufficient instead of all of this getting down to the specific. He was frustrated by John Travolta's character asking all these questions. You want to be specific. And Jesus said, I'm not going to frustrate the law. You know what? I'm going to respond to God in a simple, childlike way. You don't have to get that specific. Who is my neighbor? How many times do I have to forgive? We don't need to get that specific. Just bless those people that are near to you and just keep forgiving. That's all. Like a child would respond. I don't know any specifics. I'm not that sophisticated. Well, this was frustrating for this man questioning John Travolta. When Jesus was saying, I'm just going to do it the simple way. I'm not going to try to second guess God. I'm not going to try to figure out what he really meant. I'm just going to do what he said to do. I didn't come to frustrate God. I've come to fulfill the law and the prophets. When we look at Jesus, usually at Christmas time, you know, when we talk about all the prophecies about where the Messiah was going to be born and when he was going to be born and all of those kind of things, we say, see how Jesus fulfilled all the prophets. And then in Easter, we go through all the prophecies about how the Messiah is going to die. And we say, see how Jesus fulfilled all the prophets. So we understand pretty much that Jesus fulfilled what the prophets said the Messiah was going to be like. He did all of that. But also, Jesus came to fulfill the law. And here, that the word for law in the Greek is pretty much all of God's commandments, pretty much the first five books of the Bible, the law, the Torah, the Pentateuch. And that law is what God says, what God has determined is proper behavior. What God has determined, that's his righteousness contained in the law. And it's more than just a legal observance of the law. Well, I've forgiven you 490 times, and the next time I don't have to. Because Jesus has just said 7 times 70. No, it's not the letter, the legal observance of the law. Jesus fulfilled God's will, what God wanted, what God intended, what God desired for people to do and to be. Jesus did it. Jesus did it. He did it. He was tempted not to, just like we are. The Bible says, but he did not sin. He did what God wanted him to do. He showed us that we can do it too. What is fulfilling the law and the prophets? I know it might be a kind of a strange statement for me to make that we can do it like Jesus did. What is fulfilling the law and the prophets? What is that? That's a good question, right? Well, turn in your Bibles to Romans 13:8. You might want to keep your finger there in Matthew 5. Romans 13:8. I don't want you to get mad at me because it's so simple. Romans 13:8. Fulfilling the law and the prophets. Here's what Paul says. Owe no one anything except to love one another. Because he who loves another has fulfilled the law. The same Greek for fulfilled. When Jesus said, I've come to fulfill it. Same. So we can fulfill the law by loving one another. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. They're in verse 9. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandments, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor like you love yourself. That's fulfilling the law. It's like, can it get any simpler? No. Can it get any harder? No, it's pretty difficult. But it is possible. Love does not harm, does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. See, I didn't make it up. It's right there in the book. One other one. Look back in Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. Just the same words, only kind of in a different order. Galatians 5, 14. For all the law is filled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by someone else too. But all the law is fulfilled in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Sounds simple. It isn't simple. Those of us who have tried are working at doing this, when there's individuals that drive us nuts and we don't want to be around, it's difficult. Simple to remember. It's difficult to perform. Because sometimes God allows people to come into our area that we just don't want to love. Simple, right? Am I the only one that's ever experienced that? I don't think so. But is it possible for me, having God's Spirit, following the example of Jesus, to love those people that are a little bit difficult to get along with? People that drive me crazy? It is extremely possible. Fulfilling the law of God is important. Adam did not do it. He was given a pretty simple set of rules. One, I think. And he didn't do it. Fulfilling the law is that important. That's why Jesus came to do it. Looking back in Matthew 5, 18. This is why it is important. He said, for assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till it is all fulfilled. Till it's all fulfilled. And Jesus is saying, listen, you know how permanent you think the heaven and earth is. You know how permanent you think the earth is. He said, no, that's not permanent. God's law is permanent. As a matter of fact, heaven and earth is going to pass away in one jot and one tittle. One small mark. And I'm racking my brain trying to figure out how we can do this in English, and it is the dot you would put over an I. When I write, sometimes I hit it, sometimes I forget it. But I still know it's an I. Jesus is saying with the Hebrew language, the smallest mark to make in writing that language, he said, none of those are going to lose their importance until everything is fulfilled. Everything we think is permanent will go away. Has come to go away. I like that. Everything we think is permanent has come to go away. It's going to pass away. Before any one small mark or letter becomes unimportant until it is fulfilled. by Jesus. There's ramifications to all of this. The ramifications are in verse 19. Can we just like say, okay, good sermon, pastor, and forget about this, what Jesus is telling us here? You can't forget about what Jesus teaches us. Don't let anybody tell you, and don't believe when people say what Jesus says is not important. I know that there are people who say that what Jesus taught in the Gospels doesn't apply to us. I'm not that brave. I'm just not that brave. I'm going to take what Jesus taught as the truth from God. Verse 19 says, "Whoever, therefore, breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven." Now, remember I told you about that kataluo a little bit ago? I said, remember that word? Not come to destroy the law? Well, here, what Jesus is saying about breaking one of the least of these, that he uses the word luo. It's just, instead of kataluo, he just says luo. And when we say one of the commands is not important, it's not important to do this or that, but whoever relaxes or frustrates the law, which Jesus did not and would not do, he said they're going to be considered least in the kingdom of God. And it's interesting about that word least. Those who break the least commandments are going to be considered least in the kingdom of God. Well, break the least and then teach others that it's all right to do that. The Greek word means smallest, smallest. You've got small, smaller than smallest. Jesus said those who do that are going to be considered the smallest in the kingdom of God. Not just small, not even smaller, but the smallest in regard to the kingdom. They weren't following Jesus when he said, I'm not going to frustrate the law. I'm not going to destroy it. I'm not going to remove any of its power. I'm not going to disregard any of it. So these people who say it's all right to break one of the laws, you don't have to keep it, they're not following Jesus. And they're teaching others not to follow Jesus. Saying, you don't really need to be like him. Or, oh, you know, we can't really be like Jesus. He's special. He wants us to be special. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. Who's great? Whoever follows and teaches others to follow, Jesus said, those people will be considered greatest in the kingdom. Now you know this Greek word for that he uses there for greatest. It's mega. Mega. We know mega. Those will be called the greatest who follow Jesus and teach others to follow Jesus as well. Keep your finger in Matthew 5 and turn over to Matthew 18. This was a controversy that the disciples really had difficulty following. But Matthew 18, verse 1. Who is the greatest? Who is the mega servant? Who is the mega disciple? Who is the mega dude or dudette in the kingdom of God? Matthew 18:1. And at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is mega in the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and he said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is mega, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives a little one, little child like this in my name, receives me. Now there's two things I would just want to call your attention to in that passage we read. He said, if you don't do this, you're not even going to see the kingdom. I want to pay attention to that. When Jesus said, here's an opportunity for you to miss it, pay attention. People go on cruises and they say, we're leaving at 5 and you missed the boat. Well, you missed the boat. Jesus is saying, you could miss the boat here, boys and girls. If you do not, are not converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God. Pay attention to that. The ones like little children will be the greatest in the kingdom. The ones who do what God says to do, the ones who act the way God says is proper to act, without frustrating, questioning, but like a little child, those will be the people who are greatest in the kingdom. Those who say, I need to love my neighbor as myself, even though I don't want to do it. And people say, well, if you don't really want to do it, is it okay to do it anyway? Yeah, do it anyway. Do it anyway. You won't be happy before you get started. Jesus promised, now that you know these things, you will be happy after you do them. Not before. After you do them, that's when you're going to find happiness. Not before. Like a little child, those will be considered greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Well, look at verse 20. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, here you might want to underline this again, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Now here's the second place he said this phrase. And I think we ought to wake up and look at what he's talking about. I've mentioned before that there is a necessity to have our professed and our functional beliefs in line, that both of them agree, that not only what we say we believe, but that it comes out in how we live. We show what we believe by our actions. If these two are not in line, there is no entrance to the kingdom. Remember back in Matthew 18, you got to become like a child so that you do as you say always, or you're not going to get it. We can really be frustrating when we're being forced to live what we say we believe. We can be frustrating. We can frustrate God. Well, I don't want to. Not today. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll start in a week. Well, it's going to be the end of the month, and we'll start at the beginning of next month. On and on and on. When we don't really want to do what we know we need to do, we can drag our heels, dig in, hold back, and not do as we're told. Don't let that happen. We need to live like we say we believe. Simply accept what God says, like a child from a father. From a loving child, to a loving child from a loving father. Accept what God says. And then count it as something that you have in common with Jesus. Being obedient. Having that in common with Jesus. That's what he wants. He wants us to be followers. He says, come and follow me. He wants us to not destroy the law, but to keep it, just as he did, because he's coming back. But Jesus satisfied God's law. He lived here among us, facing all the kinds of things that we face, without sin. He lived with us, as God said is proper to do, proper behavior. Be on your best behavior. You've heard that saying. Do what's proper. Well, this is what God says is proper. It's all listed in the law. For humans to live with humans, as God says, is proper. That cost Jesus his life. Jesus was living with human beings, as God said is proper, and it cost him his life. We need to realize that we shouldn't expect any better treatment than what he received.